All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorcher. Thank you for joining me on this Saturday, May 18th, 2019, on a glorious day to have Woody Lashen in studio, the co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. Woody, nice to have the sun shining, and for once, it seems like the long night, forgive the Game of Thrones reference, is over, and the sun is shining.
Looks like a beautiful day for a major championship golf at the Black.
At the Black. News of note, Rob Labritz met PGA professional. He is one of only three professionals to make the cut. I was just curious, now that I think about it, is that only three PGA professionals making the cut?
I think that's pretty good. A lot of years have been zero PGA professionals making the cut.
Yeah, I mean, and this is no easy golf course to get around.
Well, I think we've all played it. I think we've all had a lot of blood and sweat and tears on the Black. Shout out to Marty Jensen for making the cut. Marty was the lead engineer for Ping Golf for the Ping G410 driver. So he's a golf scientist who can also obviously play a little well.
Yeah, can you you've known him about him and probably have met him before. What kind of guy is he?
He's a great guy. Uh-huh. You know, he works for a great company, Ping, and just amazing that he's able to bring his game to this level and play with these guys and make the cut. And right now he's a low PGA professional, so not easy to do, folks.
And he's this isn't his first rodeo either. He's been a player for quite some time.
You don't get here by
he's no flash in the pan.
No. He's not a young guy.
It's got to be pretty cool to be playing clubs that you designed. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
I can only imagine. I'm not at that level, Anthony.
No, our brain pans are not that big. That's for sure. But do you have any good stories about the Black or Bethpage Black? I'll start with my favorite Black story. You know, we've all played it, like you said, and we've all had our good moments and our bad moments. And one year I wanted to play. I play at least once a year. And one year I went really early. It was towards the end of the year, so I went early to get a time, and I wanted to get a time for just like after work, and so I went, and I ended up getting a time that where I could go from work to right from work to the tee to my tee, a half hour before. So I get there a little early, I'm hitting balls. And I'm like Ranger Rick, you know. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, because you play the Black, you want to be informed. That's not a place you want to be struggling with. All right,
no.
Exactly. So, I get to the tee, and of course, there's the typical crowd around the tee, as always, hanging on the wrought iron banister there, right next to the danger sign, and. I'm with these three guys, and I could see none of them wants to go first, you know? So I'm like, you know, after coming off this big range session, I said, you know, I'm all peacocking here, and I'm like, yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, no problem, guys, you know. So I've teed my ball up. Cole Toppin, right? Cole Toppin, right? Right, it doesn't even go, it just disappears down the hill. Like that's one of, I mean, I know it's not a great story. I mean, I've had, you know, great shots on certain holes and, you know, but that to me is the one that stands out. Like every time it's just the quintessential golf moment. Anytime you think that you got it, you don't got it.
I'll follow it up. Sonny was telling me a story. Last time I played the Black, he played with a bunch of really good players. He cold tops off the first tee. They all hit perfect drives.
Right. Right.
He chops a 7-iron out into the fairway. He hits like a 4-iron onto the green, and he makes the putt for par.
Get out of here.
Three of the guys who bomb it down the middle all made bogey.
that's golf for you. That's all you need is one good shot to make up for three bad ones.
It's such a hard golf course.
Now, you've seen the evolution of this golf course. You know it way better than I do. I mean, I started playing it in the 90s at some point. You've played it before that. You remember when... I've seen pictures when it was just rugged golf course where you needed basically, some sort of a Sherpa to get you around there.
Well, you had tees that you need a hammer and nail to get something into the ground. You had tees that were mats.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no eighth tee box.
Right.
It was mats. It was horrible.
You could see the bones of it, right?
Of course. We all loved it too, but you know, you didn't realize how amazing it was until they kind of did that first renovation.
Right.
When Chuck Workman was back as the professional, I think it was in the 90s, I think they did that, or late 80s, maybe they did it. And then the golf course started to come alive, and then obviously when the USGA started to come,
sure.
It really made a huge difference.
Right.
The USGA put money into the golf course.
Right, right.
But it was not the golf course that...
Oh, God, no.
The ninth hole... You could drive the green where the tee box was on the ninth hole.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
And a big hook, but you could drive the green. Yeah, that tee box is long gone.
Where is that the one that was on the...
You can't even see it. It would be like about 150 yards up from where they're teeing it off now and to the left.
And to the left.
When you walked off the eighth green, you walked back towards the ninth green, not back away from it.
Okay. So the original... So the... I wonder if that was part of the original tee box, because I was talking to Phil Young, and he was telling me that the original, that was, Tillinghast wanted that to be an original boomerang hole. And so the tee box was like on the other side of the eighth green. And so you had to really shoot back away from the green, as opposed to now players are shooting right over the top
and
of that corner.
That tee box that they're playing from is...
From Farmingdale College, basically. They're basically playing on Farmingdale College. I mean, and they're still hitting it over the top there. I mean,
Different game.
I mean, if anybody has ever been there, if you ever go to Bethpage, just go to the ninth tee box where they're playing from. And if you don't think, like, forget about whether you agree with or roll back in the ball, whatever, all that stuff. But the bottom line is, if you look, you have to traverse like 100, like you said, I think it's 150, it's probably 100 yards at least from where the eighth green is to that back tee box.
It's a long way back.
It's a long, I mean, it's
not maybe, for those guys.
It's, I mean, if I played from that back tee box, I would be, you know, I'd have to.
Well, there's a lot of par fives and par sixes for you out there.
Exactly. I have to change the scorecard. But it's a great venue for a major championship. It's a great market for it. It's a great venue.
I think the crowds have been great out there. I think they've been enjoying some great golf. I mean, one guy playing a different golf course than everybody else. But
let's talk about him for 1 second. It's pretty amazing the kind of run he's on. Now, other people have been on these kinds of runs. Let's not forget. You know, Spieth won a couple of championships in a row, and a couple of other guys have had these little capsules of runs, these little heaters, if you will. But at what point do we say Brooks Koepka is a little different?
We're not there yet.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not there yet.
I agree.
He's got a bunch more major championships to go, but he is doing something, obviously, for two rounds. Something that, you know, Tiger has done and not many else have done, where just, you know, I was joking with you this morning. Everyone else is playing Bethpage Black and he's playing Christopher Morley.
Exactly.
He's playing a different golf course to me. I mean,
no.
What he's doing, he's lapping the field. It's amazing.
The setup, I'd have to say, is really more, it almost because of now, if you haven't been, if you're not live in the local metropolitan area, you realize that it's been raining for months, not days, months. And, you know, we had a beautiful, mild winter only to be ruined by spring. And so this golf course is long and it's pretty soft. I mean, I know the conditioning is top, first rate, Andrew Wilson, and they've got that place, you know, as good as it could be.
Spectacular.
There's no mud balls. All the rain and they've had, and there's not one mud ball.
You see how well the greens are rolling?
Yeah.
We're talking about how well those greens are rolling. That it's making, you know, half a stroke to a stroke difference.
Pat Perez said that he's the best greens. He's the best putter he's ever seen.
Yeah.
And that's saying something. And he's got no ties to the area. He's got no reason, but he said quote, it's amazing what they've done with this place for this time of the year.
Yeah, well, the green's spectacular.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's playing, would you say, I feel like it feels a little more U.S. Open-ish.
No. 12 under?
12 under. Well, yeah, I guess that's true. Well, I guess we only need to look at the Women's Senior Open to realize what a U.S. Open is. That's a little brutal there. But no, you're right. 12 under. But that's the outlier. Really, 5 under is the real number. You can't even look at Brooks because he's playing lights out. 63, 65. And that's 63. He missed a couple of...
He was complaining about that.
Yeah. So he said it could have been easily 60. So 63, 65. I wonder... Obviously, he's in cruise control. Does he come back to the field for a second, a little bit? Does he go?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? He's just going to bomb away?
I don't think so. It would be good TV.
Good TV.
But I don't think so.
Well, he looks like Thor out there right now. I mean, it's pretty amazing. All right, we're going to take a short break. Next up will be Dave Donaldson, who is the president of the Met Golf Writers Association, and you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
And we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He is Woody Lashin. And on the line is the president of the Met Golf Writers Association, Dave Donaldson. Dave, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great, Anthony. It's a wonderful time to be involved in golf, isn't it?
It's a beautiful time to be in golf. And it was a beautiful time the other night at the Met Golf Writers Association dinner, a special dinner that happens every year around this time. Maybe just tell us... a little bit about the Met Golf Writers Association. It obviously has a tremendous dinner every year where there is the award history that you guys give out with the names of Snead and Hagen and Palmer and Nicklaus. Just a few, maybe notable names that you might have heard. Hogan, Sarazen. You might have heard of some of these guys if you're into golf. Just tell us a little bit about the Met Golf Writers Association in general.
Sure, we do have some good friends. There's some interesting friends. The Met Golf Writers Association really serves two purposes. We're a group, as the name implies, of journalists, photographers, broadcasters that cover the game in the New York metropolitan area. There's about 200 of us. We're not a big group, but we're a pretty influential group, I think, when you consider the media-centric nature of the New York market. And our purposes are twofold. One is to raise money. We're a charitable organization. We raise money principally for the three golf caddy scholarship funds in the New York metro area, Long Island, Westchester, Connecticut, and New Jersey, and the MGA Foundation, which of course supports the First Tee and the Golf Works program and things like that. That's our first and most important reason for existence. And through events like the dinner, which we've held for 68 years, we've raised well over $2 million for those causes, which is something that we're very proud of. The second reason that we exist is really to further the professionalism of our industry, of golf journalism. And to that end, in addition to offering an annual award to a golf journalist this year, Larry Dorman, formerly from the New York Times, received the Link Worden Award for golf journalism from us. We also endow a scholarship at Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism specifically for golf writing. And we've done that since, I believe, 2002. It's the Dave Marr Journalism Scholarship. And again, we're the sole support for that. And again, we're very proud of what we've accomplished in that regard. The dinner is a fabulous event, as you mentioned. This year, Jim Furyk was our Gold Tee Award winner, and he joined, as you mentioned, the ranks of Jack Nicklaus and Sam Snead, going back to Bobby Jones. I mean, it's a who's who of accomplishments in the golf world. We also gave our Distinguished Service Award to PGA Hope, which is a fabulous program from the PGA of America that helps disabled American veterans adjust to society through golf. And I was personally involved in it when it began here in the Met section, and it's just a tremendous program. We had 30 disabled American veterans in the audience at the dinner at the Marriott in Westchester this last Monday night, all brought there through the generosity of donors to the organization. So it was an all-around, very big, successful dinner. I hope you had a good time.
We did.
Oh, it was a great time. I tell you what, it's well, who's who of in the golf business are all there every year. It's really amazing what the association is able to do. The couple other awards you gave out. You took a Club of the Year. Tuxedo got that.
Right.
And you know, just other names on Old Oaks, Glen Oaks, Metropolis. I mean, that the list of Club of the Year just goes on and on and on.
Oh yeah, I believe Fresh Meadow was our Club of the Year last year, as I recall.
Yes.
Yep.
And in addition to the dinner, the Met Golf Writers holds five. Well, we call them meetings. They're actually golf outings, but they're also fundraising operations where our members pay to play some of the best courses in the Met area, and the funds that we raise through those outings goes to again to our general fund, which is supports our charities. We also instituted this year the Dave Anderson Spotlight Awards. Dave, of course, a legendary Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist for the New York Times, was a longtime board member, a good friend of ours, and we lost him, of course, last year. So Bill Pennington from the Times, who's also on the board with me, gave a very nice tribute at the dinner to Dave Anderson. We do believe that it's unique in the golf world in that we're not really celebrating ourselves. We're celebrating the sport itself and all the good that golf does in this world of ours in so many different ways. That's really what the dinner is about. It's been hugely successful. We had over 500 people in that room. And as you say, it's really the who's who, the sponsor list of, you know, includes the PGA of America, the LPGA, the USGA, a number of commercial concerns. Rolex is our premium sponsor. It's a very exciting event.
You know, the award that for me that kind of touched me the most was just the Mary P. Porter Award.
Yeah.
For folks who don't know, she's an LPGA player who saved a toddler from drowning in a swimming pool. And so she gave out this award. She actually came. She named for the award. She came and gave it out.
Yep.
And I think she's tried to give it out most of the times.
Yeah.
I don't remember her from 2 years ago when I last attended. But and Karen Purcell saved a member's life on the first tee by giving him CPR. Just
amazing.
Yeah, it's a fabulous story. Mary B was actually in the middle of tournament play. I believe it was 1988. When she saw a child drowning in a pool near the golf course. So she stopped her play and ran over and saved this kid's life. And she doesn't make it to the dinner every year, but she comes all the way from Hawaii, where she lives, just to make that award when she can at our dinner, which is very gratifying.
And it was really, really nice touch to have the gentleman who he saved to be in the room. And between that story and PGA Hope and Jim Furyk, it seemed like there was somebody who was cutting a lot of onions in there, because there was a whole lot of teary-eyed people. The world could be a cold, hard place to live, and that room was full of warmth. That night, and that was it was a very uplifting occasion.
Yes, thank you. We're very happy with the way it turned out this year, and I have to give kudos, of course, to Brian Kroll, who's past president of the Met PGA section, who served as our MC. Brian is working at the championship this week with Michael Breed on air. Brian's a broadcaster as well.
Sure,
and he did a a yeoman's job of emceeing the event this year. One quick story, one of the spotlight awards we gave was to Kelly Clayton. Kelly is the founder of the foundation operations director for the Met PGA section, and she very much started the PGA Hope program here in the Met section. And we called her out from the audience, and I had the pleasure of awarding her that, the Dave Anderson Spotlight Award. And she told me afterwards, when we were out there, she said, "Dave, you made me cry," which was not my intention, but it very much, as you say, captured the spirit of the room.
Absolutely. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in 1 minute more with Dave Donaldson. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family, featuring three different models designed for the better player, to our JPX family, featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
And we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He's Woody Lashin. And on the line is the president of the Met Golf Writers Association, Dave Donaldson. Dave, you've been in this business for quite some time. I'm just curious, how do you assess the changing landscape of journalism in general, particularly golf journalism, between the downsizing of papers, the rise of digital, and this, what seems to be this new thing of these quote-unquote influencers who just sort of go around and they're vlogging and they're tweeting and they're Instagramming. I'm just kind of curious, how would you assess the shifting landscape of journalism?
I tell you what, that's a really interesting question. It's not for the faint of heart, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
As you say, I've been at this for quite some time, and I was a broadcast guy originally. I've been a print guy for the last 15 years, and it's really discouraging in many ways to see so many publications, especially the newspapers, that are just cut and cut and cut until there's no one left. And the number of people, if you go to the media centers like at Bethpage or the Masters or any of the tournaments, yes, they're crowded, but they are nowhere near as crowded as they used to be, because the major publications, the major networks even, aren't sending as many people to cover the events. They don't have them. And as you say, what's kind of replaced them in a way are the I'm going to call them the online cadre. I hesitate to call them journalists, because they don't do the same things that journalists do and use the same disciplines that we use in terms of fact checking and verifying and things of that nature. That's not to take away from the value of the influencers and the bloggers. I'm a blogger myself.
Mm-hmm.
And others that do that kind of work. It's just different.
Right.
And I think that it is just reflective, in a way, I hate to say this, but, you know, of our society as a whole. It's a whole different, we use media differently now than we used to as consumers, and that's reflected in the golf industry as well. I always find it interesting. I'm what I consider a lifestyle golf writer.
Yeah.
In that I don't cover the tour, I cover the game as consumers use it here in Westchester and through the New York area. And so I'm reviewing courses from the standpoint of the consumer and things like that. And travel is another thing that I write about, very fortunately. I get to go to some wonderful places. And it's always interesting for me to be there reviewing a golf course. You know, I'm at Pinehurst No. 4, which opened last year, with Gil Hans walking the course and taking notes and interviewing him. And in the meantime, there's six other people doing pieces with their cell phones. They're recording video in the background, and which is, let's put it this way, it's interesting.
Yeah. You know, Dave, for me anyway, having been able to meet all these the older golf riders and see how they, I hate to say older, but you guys are a little older.
That's okay, Woody. I don't take it personally.
I'm younger. No, but you can just see that the manner in which they ask questions, the manner in which they write their stories is so different than you get from that, quote, influencer that's maybe has a different agenda. And it's just very different. It's for me a great experience to talk to some of these guys that have been doing it for so long and how professional they are and how they you know, they're not going to go out on a limb and say something without checking the facts. Where today someone says something, oh, when it's fact right away, you know, that's not going to happen with the old time journalist.
No, it's very true. It's interesting that the publication I do most of my work for, I'm a freelancer, but most of my work is done for Westchester Magazine, and I do a blog for them. Even the blog, I don't just sit down and type it and it appears online. I send in my story and my photographs and my headlines to an editor who then goes through it, checks it, makes sure I haven't made any egregious errors, and then puts it online. So it's a two-step process that makes sure that, you know, we're not putting garbage out there. And I just think that's an important thing. Maybe I'm old style, but to me it matters.
Well, I mean, I think, as you said, we're living in a world where words are starting to have no meaning on a certain level, and information is being, you know, not that it's new that it's being weaponized. It's always seemed to have been weaponized. I mean, there's been propaganda going back to, you know, yellow journalism. But it is an interesting time to be living, and it's, you know, I always go back to this. There was a TV series, HBO, called The Wire, and it was when they talked about, and there was a major plot line for one of the seasons was the newspaper business, and the bottom line is you don't get more with less. You know, they say we got to get more with less, but the bottom line is you get less with less, and that's just an unfortunate evolution of the industry.
Yeah, there's just no question about it. And it's not just in the golf business.
Nope.
It's not just in sports. It's all forms of journalism are being affected that way. And that's a it's scary to me. I'm very involved with some other organizations that my local library board, for example, I serve on, and so we interact with the town. There used to be reporters at the town meetings.
Right.
There aren't anymore because there's no more local newspaper to cover those. Who keeps an eye on your local school board?
Right.
In Westchester, that's 2/3 of my tax bill, and believe me, that's a big number.
Yeah. Well,
there's no reporters at the school board meeting either.
Dave, I would love to take a deep dive into this, but we're up against it. And but I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning. It was a pleasure to have you, and it was an honor to be part of such a wonderful event the other night.
Thanks, guys. It was great to be here. I'm so glad you could join us last week.
Absolutely. All right, that was Dave Donaldson, for the president of the Met Golf Writers Association. Woody, thank you for being in studio. And folks, thank you for the pleasure of your company. A pleasure to have you on board for another week. Thanks,
Woody. Enjoy the PGA, folks.
Enjoy the PGA.